Hello and welcome to episode 68 of Ardent Run Club. I'm Tommy, I'm your host, and today I'm joined by another athlete from the Northeast. He lives in Kentucky, USA. We had his dad on a few weeks ago, but he's faster than his dad was. So yeah, we're going to talk about that. Here to talk about his running and the US collegiate system and all that that entails. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Oliver James.
Good afternoon. How are we doing?
Hey, it's afternoon for you. It's night here, bro. It's black.
I know. Yeah, that's the time difference for you. But yeah, how are we doing today? Not too bad?
Yeah, I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
Very well. Very well. Excited to do this, to be honest.
Oh, thanks, man. I'm glad you agreed to do this, man. I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, family, life, all of that sort of stuff. So I appreciate it, man. It's really kind.
Oh, no problem at all. No problem at all.
Awesome. So actually, before we start, is it Oliver or is it Ollie? Just, I want to be consistent.
Honestly, I don't mind. Whatever you want to call them. I mean, Ollie is what I used to get called in school. But Oliver's fine too. So,
all
right. Either, whichever one you prefer, I'm good with.
Yeah, all right. Cool. I'm going to say Ollie, but I'm probably going to slip into Oliver in a bit. But anyway.
No, that's fine.
All right. So tell us your story, Ollie. How long have you been running for? What got you into running? We'll just see where we go from there.
Well, I'd say my first real competitive race and stuff, I swam for a long time when I was in secondary school and stuff. And then when I was about 17, so I kind of got into the sport a little bit later, and that probably kind of ties in quite nicely with what my dad talked about like his teenage burnout thing and not wanting to do too much too young. So I felt as if I built a good base of aerobic fitness and stuff from swimming, then kind of came into running, started running at St. Ann Harriers, about 17, really obviously enjoyed it a lot, kind of found myself to be pretty competitive in the Northeast, straight away, or if not within the first few races. So kind of that was what really got me into it, was kind of the being competitive part and kind of wanting to better myself in the sport. In terms of the first real race I had, I raced it. It was a Sherman Cup cross country race. I want to say that was in 2013. And I actually won the race. It was kind of thing, I think, is it Bladen? It was funny because I mean I'm sure you kind of know, but they have the slow pack, the fast pack, and they have the same kind of thing for the under the 20s. And I went from the slow pack, but then ended up with the fastest time of the day, and then kind of that gave me a lot of confidence to be where can I go from here kind of thing. So that was really what got me started and wanting to better myself.
That's awesome. And I bet the people in the slow pack were thinking you were cheating. They were like, what's this guy
doing? Yeah, no. I think the chairman of Sunderland Harriers, Kevin Carr, I think he'd been watching at the start and seen me go off, and he was like does he know it's a cross country race? I think he's went off a bit fast there. And then as it turned out, I guess I kept the stamina up a little bit and was able to come through, get the fastest time of the day, which was nice.
Happy days. So from cross country, where did that go into? Because I understand you like doing a bit of track as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing, I do love the track, to be honest. But I feel looking back, even some of my better results were probably on the country. Really? And we talked about this a little bit on the phone the other week, because I think when you look back and stuff, it's I the main part of what I wanted to become was a really good track athlete. But then when you look back on stuff, it's maybe some of my better results were in different places, or maybe that should have been an area that I kind of paid a little bit more attention to. But yeah, track is massive for me. I really enjoyed the track. I loved running the 800, 1500, mile, 3000.
Yeah.
Never really ran a great 5K, to be honest. Or not or like in my own head kind of thing, or wanted to run faster for five.
Was your five time?
But I want to say on the track was I only ever ran like 14:52 maybe, or 14:54, which it's about the same as what I ran on the road. So really felt as if that was like an area that I could have improved upon massively on the track, but either never got the opportunity, or never did the race, or never got the right race to kind of really run that like fast time, you know.
Did you do longer distances as well?
Not on the track, but some like 5Ks, 10Ks on the road. Some of my last like competitive races were just before COVID, in like 2019, and it was actually a 10-mile race. I think was my last competitive race, and ran like 51:10 or 51:11, I think. And that was here in Louisville, and then kind of just got really busy with like dental school, and then COVID hit, and then we had kids. We got two twin boys. It's kind of just all kind of a little bit of a domino effect of kind of slowly kind of moving away from it a little bit.
I get that. No, fair enough. But when you were competing, and we'll talk about, because I know you probably want to get back into some competition a little bit, but when you were competing over the last few years, what do you think your strongest event was?
I think my strongest event was definitely the 1500. I ran 3:46.8 for 1500.
Good.
Now, for me, I think that's a pretty good time. I think. I would again. I mean, I think it's just part of being. I think every athlete can relate to a little bit that you always just want to get better. You want to be faster. Like no matter what, like what level you're competing at, no matter what time you're going for, like you always want. You always either think that you could go faster or you want to go faster. So, I mean, I would have loved to have ran sub 3:45. I would have loved to have ran sub 3:40, all that type of stuff. But that was my, I think is my best PB and probably my best event too.
Yeah. 1500 is a nice event to watch. I don't know about watching it, but watching it, it's a good event.
I know. I think, especially the 1500, I think it's just so exciting of an event. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many different ways you can run it too. But I think, like you say, you watch like the professionals run it and stuff, and you watch how fast they close the last lap and stuff. Like, it's very, very impressive to watch, I think.
Yeah. And even when you watch like the slow races, when you're just plodding around the track, and then you see the time they run, and you're just like, how is that slow? Like,
yeah, exactly right.
No, that's jokes. But okay, so in hindsight then, so you mentioned that first cross country you did. Do you have any other more memorable or favorite races that you competed in?
Yeah, then there's a few from a cross country standpoint. I finished 11th in the intercounties as an under 20.
Oh.
I was really, really proud of that performance. Was only a few kind of spots away from making the world cross country team as a junior that year. I think I want to say top six went that year, or they picked all the top six. So it wasn't too far away from kind of making that team. That was a memorable race. I thought I ran a really good race. On the track, although my PB for 1500 was 3:46, my favorite, or what I think was my best race, was I won Florida Relays, on my heated Florida Relays in 3:47.5. And that was, in my own head, that was almost like a perfect race for me. Kind of set off. I like to kind of build through from the back a little bit, like kind of try to pick people off as I went. I remember being like at the very back at the last lap and kind of just slowly moving through. I was in like then like fourth or fifth going in the last lap, and then kind of going at 200 meters, like hit the front and went, and felt like that was like, that's a race that really stands out in my head as being like, okay, that was me like at my best at that time, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Matt, that's mad that you mentioned Florida Relays. I used to watch Florida Relays when I was in school. But I literally just like just wanted to watch the sprinters, but that's mad. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe, yeah. But I think it's mad that.
I think that's that is really cool, to be honest. And it's cool that you watched that because yeah. I mean, I think the like some of the big races in the States, you don't realize, but like they are kind of not worldwide, but certainly there's people all across the world that do kind of tune in and watch that. Florida relays, Texas relays, some of the big distance races in California. Mm-hmm. People like genuinely tune in to watch it because the competition is so good.
Yeah, man. I feel like I'm jumping ahead, but because we're talking about Florida relays, do you think, okay, and I know that you might be disrespecting your alma mater when we talk about this, but do you think Florida is the best at track, like generally, Florida University?
I think close. I think Florida always excellent. I just think that like it depends so much on the year. I mean, I don't think you can look very much further past Arkansas. Arkansas are a great program. Mm-hmm. And obviously Oregon, some of the athletes that came from Oregon is huge. Go on.
It was like the mile, the US mile relay record. And it is done by, or the collegiate record or something. And in that team, it was Oregon track and field. And you had Matthew Centrovich, who is the Olympic, who was the 1500 meter champion. And you also had Galen Rupp, who's like got a silver medal in the 10K or something.
Yeah.
And you're like, how's any team supposed to beat that?
I know. And I think that's one thing that I probably realized a little bit was, I don't think that the very, very top end of the athletics is that much different to the UK. But I do think that the depth of talent that they have in the States is probably just a little bit better, just probably because of the population and how many people come into the NCAA from around the world too. But like some of the depth you see is like pretty, pretty incredible, to be honest.
Isn't it? Like, yeah, I could talk about that all day. But on the flip side of that that race at Florida Relays, what has been your worst race?
There's been a few, I have to say. I mean, to be honest, again, like the one that sticks out straight away, one that I think of straight away was probably my conference race that same year, and more so because of the disappointment because of how I'd run all season prior to that. That season I broke 350 for the first time. I ran 347, I ran 346, ran 151 for 800, was like ranked number one in the conference, going to the conference, was really excited, like thought I was going to go and get the gold medal kind of thing and qualify for the final pretty comfortably. And then just, I actually want to say I came last in that final, just absolutely blew up, like that last lap, just didn't have the legs. It was in Corpus Christi, Texas. Really hot day, to be fair. Really windy and just kind of probably got on my own head a little bit too much and just didn't have the legs. And remember being like, feeling as if I'd really let myself down considering how well I'd run that season. So that's definitely a race that's up there. But I mean, how long you got? We could talk for about 20 minutes about some of the bad ones.
Oh man, that's rough. I can feel the pain as you say that.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of them ones that it kind of just takes a little while to get over, but
what
I probably learned with one, you have to have a short memory with it, you know what I mean? You have to just move on to the next one and just try forget about it.
No, fair. Well, that's what I was going to say, like, how do you move on from that? But I guess you just answered that.
I think that's, I think it comes over with time as well, right? Like you have to, as I said, just you have to let it go. Otherwise, it kind of eats you up a little bit.
Yeah, no, exactly. Okay, and so skip forward a little bit. You, like you mentioned, COVID came, family, all that sort of stuff. You've taken a step back, but you do want to get back into it. So are you training? Are you like, what's the future?
I mean, I think... let's say kind of training. I mean, I'm trying to run more often. I don't do a lot of sessions anymore, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I do run weekly, and I mean, I go out, and it depends on how busy I am with school and all that type of stuff. But
yeah,
I know about usually average about 20, 25 miles a week. I feel fine when I do go out and run. Like, I mean, like yesterday I went and ran like 8 miles, 6:40 pace, just kind of felt as if I was comfortable. I can run like fine, but I mean, I think that it would take a while for me to really get back to, you know, the level that I would like to be at. But, you know, you got to start somewhere. So, I wouldn't say I have like a weekly plan as much as I was as rigid as what I used to, but, certainly trying to get back into it and have the fire to try to get back competing soon. So I'm about to be finished with dental school in May. I think I'm going to have a little bit more time or flexibility with that. So really, I'm excited for the future. I don't want to like big up myself too much and everybody listen to this and then say, oh, I thought you were going to get back running in 6 months or whatever, but I'll back racing in 6 months. But I would like to think that I would be racing again maybe in 2023.
Okay, good. Well, no pressure, but that's exciting to know that is something that you do want to do. So that's really cool.
Yeah, really cool. Definitely.
All right, so I guess we might as well just start talking about what, like, one of the reasons you're here to chat to me. Well, I did not know how to say that sentence. I think we got the point across. But anyway, a few weeks ago, we had your old man on the show, and he spoke about teenage burnout, which you alluded to a little bit earlier. I think that was episode 65. He mentioned you, said that you moved to America, all of that sort of stuff. And, you know, about the US collegiate system, because you raced there. And I've got loads of questions about that, because, like I said, I watch the Florida Relays. I used to watch all of those events and everything. So I think it'd be cool to learn about that sort of stuff from you. So you good to chat about that for a little while?
I would love to, You ask as many questions as you want. I'll try to answer them as best I can.
Thank you very much, sir. All right, so first off, let's start with when did you move over to the US and why?
So my first year in the US was 2013.
Okay.
So I was actually recruited actually by a few different schools, but I was supposed to go to Iowa State, was where I actually signed my original national letter of intent, which is like the letter you sign when you sign for your scholarship. And then that summer, the coach who had signed me actually moved from Iowa State to Boise State, because I guess he had family there, but like I wasn't aware of any of that, or he hadn't kind of let me know about any of that type of stuff. So then the new coach came in to Iowa State, and I mean, they were nice enough, but basically they kind of obviously had different expectations of where they wanted me to do. At the time, I'd run 3:53. I'd had some really good performance on the cross country. I think that the coach who moved on really seen a lot of potential there for me to get faster. But the new coach that came in was a little bit more... he told me that he hadn't recruited a lot of international students before and really wasn't that interested in recruiting international students. So therefore, he kind of set out some guidelines of like, you're going to have to go run 3:46 freshman year, and this, and this. And if you don't, then we're going to have to cut down your scholarship, which, I mean, is fair play. Like, I get that. But at the time, I mean, I'd ran 3:53. I was excited to go to the States, but I felt like that was a huge pressure for me.
7 seconds.
Like to try to reach.
Yeah.
So, and the guy who moved to Boise State kind of offered me a place there. But then by that time I was like, well, I mean, you know, like he kind of sold me a dream at Iowa State, and then he moved. And then I was like, well, I don't know if I really want to do.
Yeah.
Like go and follow him there. So, that this was in the summer, and I actually remember it was the England under 20 championships, which was another bad race actually. So that's another one for you to put down. I don't know, probably about June time, and I was supposed to go out in August, so it kind of that kind of scuppered my whole plans of what was going on. But ended up being recruited by a few different people, few kind of smaller schools. Ended up signing with McNeese State. Went out there in August of 2013. Nice. Honestly, Lake Charles, shout out to that place. Like, it is the hottest place on the planet. I've never been anywhere that is more hot and humid. I remember getting off the plane in Houston in the middle of August and thinking, wow, like, I've got to run, like, in this. Like, this is, like, absolutely crazy. So that was kind of how I got to the States.
Yeah, awesome. And what were you studying at the time?
So I studied biology, like as a topic. Got my degree in biology with a minor in chemistry. Mm-hmm. And you have to take like different, I guess the system's a little bit different, obviously, but I knew I wanted to go into like the medical field, and that was something I guess my parents always like really kind of drove into me about, you know, like making sure you kind of secure your future kind of thing. And I knew I wanted to do something in the medical field, either become a doctor of some kind. And so I had I did biology pre-dentistry, which then gave me allowed me to take all the prerequisite courses to go to dental school.
Okay, cool. So you had a plan. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
And so can you just explain the conferences? Because I know you got like Florida's in the SEC or something like that. And then you got.
Yeah, that's right.
Northeast and all that sort of stuff. So how do the conferences work, and then how do you come together for NCAA tournaments and different divisions and all that stuff?
So I competed in D1, so I only really know D1 well, so I'll probably just stick to that if you don't mind. But the conference system is, you usually have, I competed in the Southland Conference, which is like a mid-level conference. You mentioned Florida, which is in the SEC. SEC is probably one of, if not the most competitive conference, not just in track and field, but in all sports in the States, to be honest, all sports in NCAA. And how it works in cross country is that you have your conference that you compete in, and then you have usually 10 to 12 schools that compete in your conference. And then you have a regional meet, which is, I want to say it's the US is split up into 10 different regions. And then from there, the top two teams will qualify for NCAAs. Yeah. And then you have four individual spaces from each of them regionals to make it at NCAAs.
Yeah.
So you end up with about, I want to say it's like 280 or 280 people that go to NCAAs and cross. Indoors is definitely the most difficult to make. NCAAs in. This year was, I don't know if you followed it particularly, but was actually like ridiculously fast. I want to say like 3:55 in the mile made NCAAs. That was just to make it, like 7:47, I want to say, for 3K. Like some ridiculous times. Like, and that works in that it's top 16 in the country, just top 16 based off time. Go to NCAAs indoors,
right,
and then it's like ridiculous, to be honest, like absolutely ridiculous. Shout out to James Young, actually, he's at Ole Miss right now. He made it this year, which is such an amazing achievement. Also for outdoors, you have your conference, you have your conference meet, then you have regionals. The regionals for that, though, is split up into East and West. And then depending on where your school is, you're either on the East or the West. And then that's top 48 times. They go to regionals. And then you qualify for nationals by making it through the regional stage. So
that's a lot.
it's a lot for all the different, different things. And it's kind of confusing because it's all different for each kind of, like different sport, like area of the sport, indoors, cross and outdoors. But definitely. Can take a little bit of getting used to. Takes a little bit of, almost a little bit of research, even for people that are in the NCAA, I think, sometimes, to kind of figure out how to make it.
Yeah, man, that's, sheesh, that's hard work. That's did you ever make NCAAs?
I didn't, actually. I would have loved to have, but I didn't. I think my closest I made, I finished 26th in cross at the regional meet, which is just outside of an All-American regional spot. To be honest, I think that was one of the things I really would have loved to have done, but I wouldn't say that I didn't fulfill my potential in the States, but I definitely felt as if I could have run significantly faster.
Yeah. No, fair, man.
Yeah.
It does sound like a tall order, to be fair. And
yeah.
If you think, like, when, you know, when people don't know athletics, but the Olympics is on, and then they're like, oh, why is this athlete so far behind everybody? It's like, he's running a quick time. She's still...
Yeah, running. Like... yeah.
That's nuts.
I know, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, like, the guy that's finishing last at, like, the Olympics is probably going to be absolutely able to whip up on, like, anybody, really, you know what I mean? So... just to make it to some of them, like, really high level, like, elite events is, I think, an achievement in itself.
Yeah, 100%. So what's training like out there compared to training in the Northeast? In fact, what was training like in the Northeast? Who was your coach? I know you mentioned Sunderland Harriers, but
yeah. So when I was at Sunderland, I was coached primarily under John Archer at the club. And then I'd also kind of drop in with Lindsay Dunn, RIP, and like his group on usually on Saturdays, and train with them, which I really enjoyed and were really good sessions. And then, I mean, from a normal training week, we used to like train Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays, our sessions.
Yeah.
Tuesday was usually like track workout. Thursday, maybe something tempo based. Saturday, usually something that's kind of, again, kind of longer tempo based, either on the roads or the grass or something like that, long run on a Sunday. And that was probably how my training was set up at home at Sunderland. And then when I moved to Louisiana, we kind of had it set up that because I mentioned the heat. Because it was so hot, we used to train every morning at 5:30 or 6 o'clock. Because that was before. So for 5 years, I should say, I got up every morning, either at 5:30. If we were doing a session, we started at 5:30. If we were just meeting for a normal run, we met at 6. So that was kind of how we had that set up. On the mornings, we'd usually run 8 miles. Then we'd meet on an afternoon, run 3 or 4 miles, do some kind of weight work, some kind of some core work, maybe a little bit of hurdle mobility, just kind of get together and do some stretching. Again, Tuesday was a session. Mm-hmm. Usually we kind of change it up a little bit, is that instead of doing the 3 sessions a week, we usually do two. We used to do Tuesdays and Fridays usually. Tuesdays was, again, like a track session. Friday was more like a tempo based workout, 6 to 6-8 mile tempo usually, and then Sunday long run, like 15-16 miles.
Right, that's so. Do you prefer the way you train in the US or the way you train in the UK?
I think it's hard to say it just because I spent a lot of time training the same way in the US and probably longer training that way than what I did in the UK, just because I got in a run a little bit later.
Yeah.
So then I didn't really spend a ton of time training at home. My own point is I spent like maybe like 2 years or so, 2.5 years really doing that work. Whereas then when I went to the States, I did it for 5 years. There were certain things that I thought were better in the US. I love the group atmosphere. Like, I know I mentioned, I seen your face when we talked about getting up at 5:30, 6 o'clock every morning, but like, I really felt as if it gave us like a great bond as a team. Like there's like, we used to get up, like obviously you're tired and stuff, but we'd have a good laugh. Like you're getting up, you're running with your mates, like you go run 8 miles, sun's coming up, you feel great, like ready for the rest of the day. I just, there's certain things that I think I would have liked to have had differently in that system. And like Lake Charles is a very, very flat place. I used to run on a lot of hills when I was at home. I really felt as if that changed kind of,
yeah.
I don't know if it just, it felt as if something was missing from home, if that made any sense. Like, I think that there's, I guess the, when it's all flat, when you're running, like you don't really kind of change your like heart rate up or down particularly. Like you have a very kind of base rate of where you're running at.
Yeah.
Whereas I think that like, even if you're just running like 6:30, 6:40, 7 minute pace, whatever, if you're running up a hill at that pace, like it makes your heart rate go up, it brings it back down when you're coming down the hill, and you have a little bit more, I don't know, variability in how you run. So I think I would have loved to have been able to do more hill work and stuff. But I mean, you can't do anything about the geography of the place particularly. So,
no, fair enough. Fair enough. And this is a random one that's not in the question, but I just thought of it. Did, when you got there, did Americans make fun of your accent?
I mean, they still do now, to be honest. So, yeah.
Is it what they expected? Because when you say, oh, I'm from England, they expect posh or something, right?
I mean, I hear all the time people think they'll be like, oh, like, where are you from? You're from Australia? You're from New Zealand, South Africa? I'm like, no, I'm from England. They're like, oh, whereabouts? And then I usually say Sunderland, or, and they'll be like, oh, like, where's that? And I say kind of close to Scotland. And then they're like, oh, like, yeah, I kind of hear like the Scottish twang in it. But I mean, even still now, like, I still get it like today. So I wish I had a pound or a dollar for every time someone had said, like, oh, where are you from? Where? So I'll probably be a little bit richer than what I am now.
Oh, dear me. No, that's cool, man. And I appreciate what you're saying about the atmosphere training with the team. Like, although that is nuts, 5:30 sessions and 6 sessions, like, when you're feeling like you are in it together, I guess it kind of does make it more enjoyable and something that you can look back on and be like, that was good. Glad we did that.
Oh, definitely. Like, I mean, like, the lads that I train with, like, We're all from different parts. Like, so a lot of us were from England, a few from America. Like, we had people from Spain on the team, like everywhere that, and like, you can become like brothers really, because you spend so much time together. Yeah. And there's so many people that are away from their families, and you don't really think about it too much while you're in that system. But then probably when you look back, it's like, that is your family why you're there. You know what I mean? So, I mean, loads of really, really close friends from college that I've stayed in really close contact with still now today. And I've been done with the NCAA system for 4 years now. So
yeah, that's awesome. And one thing that everyone talks about up here in New York, in the Northeast, is the community, the running community.
Yeah.
Like how you can see somebody from Tynbridge Harriers or Gateshead or Sunderland and all that sort of stuff, and you're racing to get your competitors, but you see somebody in that vest run past you, like, go on, son. If it's like at the London Marathon or it's at an event, like, you're from the same area. Do you feel that sort of thing is also the case in America where you're at, or
I don't think so in the same way. I think that, like, definitely within your teammates and stuff, but I think that the competition gets better with people a lot of the time. I mean, I would definitely say I had friends and stuff from, like, other teams, but not a ton of, like, close friends, maybe people I would speak to and stuff, but nobody, like, that, not in the same way as how the Northeast kind of running community gets together and, like, everybody kind of knows each other and stuff, which I think is great in a different way. But yeah, not in that same way, but definitely I would have liked it to be a little bit more like that. To be honest, I think the Northeast has a great running community, and honestly, kind of would like to get back part of that at some point in the near future too. So
nice, hint. Okay. But if you were to say, so there's positives in both systems, if you were to choose one to be your favorite. I know you've trained out there for longer, but this is home.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think I'd have to go with home just because it's always home, right? I think honestly, like, as much, I had some good performances in the States, But I mean, like, even like looking back, like some of my best performances was a junior at home. Like I was Northern 1500 meter champion, like Northeast champion. Like in the counties, I was 10th, 7th at Northern Cross. Like there was like some, I think that when I think definitely, I think I would probably, even like now, like probably looking back, maybe would have been better off where my running career was at the time, maybe staying at home for longer. Mm-hmm. And then moving over the States, maybe as like a transfer student or something. Mm. But I mean, everything happens for a reason. Okay. Like met my wife here, all that type of stuff. So can't complain.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, man. No, that's really good. And I like that perspective of everything does happen for a reason, because you can't go back and change the past, can you? Like,
no, exactly. Exactly.
100%, man. So have you ever been injured?
I have been injured, actually. Only one kind of significant injury, and I guess it was just like an overuse injury that I ended up with. But I kind of tore some tendons around my ankle and my right leg, and I actually ran that Sunday morning, 15 miles, and then me and Angelina were walking like around Walmart, kind of Asda. And I was like, you know, I was like, my ankle's like really, really like bothering us. And she was like, maybe you just like twisted it or something. And then didn't really think much of it. And then the next morning I woke up and it was like swelled up like 3 times the size. And then we ended up getting like x-rays on it. There was nothing x-rays, got like an MRI and stuff. And I guess like had like a tear, and then didn't have to have like any, like just like a partial tear, didn't have any surgery or anything on it, but ended up missing the whole cross country season that year, which to be honest kind of worked out for the best, because then I was able to come back for fifth year like as a redshirt senior, and I ran that cross country season and ran pretty well that season, to be fair. So again, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, there's a silver lining.
Exactly.
It's going to be the cliche podcast, but it's true.
Honestly.
I agree with that, man. I agree with that. Cool. So I guess just a couple more questions, I guess. Well, I do have one more about the collegiate system, which I should have asked, but
definitely
being a biology student and being an athlete. Now you hear about student athlete and you hear like, oh, that lifestyle. How was it actually? Was it a busy lifestyle, or was it? Did you not go in for much for uni? Or
no, I mean, I mean, for myself, yeah, I mean, I was pretty busy. Like in the, I think a lot of it depends on the degree path you take as well. Like, I mean, I had people that I knew, or even people in other sports that like they hardly had to go in. Like it was the system itself is like it's set up to help you succeed in your sport. Yeah. As well as your, and it kind of, your academics is like added on to that, and the fact that it gives you the chance to get a degree and all that type of stuff. Like everything, it's kind of whatever you put into it, you get out of it. Yeah. But yeah, I was pretty busy. It allowed the, being an athlete, you actually are able to register for certain classes earlier than the rest of the university. So that gives you a little bit more flexibility. In like, say we train from on 6 o'clock in the morning, so I didn't really like to start class at like 8, 9 o'clock or whatever, so I would kind of go home, have some breakfast, get, so I didn't really get a class until like 10 o'clock. But then a lot of my classes, especially towards the end, I had a lot of like labs and stuff, so then I used to have to go back in the afternoon, which is not great. But but I mean, there's also like some degrees and stuff, you don't really have to do that kind of stuff, so you can have a pretty chill. And I'm sure now, even with like after COVID and seeing as everything's kind of moved online even more, I'm sure now it's probably even more relaxed than what it was.
No, that's good, man. That's awesome. So that's a lot of information there that you've just given about the system of the NCAA, like all of that college lifestyle. What is something that you would say to somebody that's listening that is thinking about moving to the US for university or for college, as they say over there? Wanting to do sport, wanting to run.
I think definitely do your research. That's a massive part of it. Do your research, speak to people that have been to the States, spend time in the States. not everybody has a great experience is what I would say. Don't let that put you off too much. I mean, everybody has their own life. They have their own kind of goals, all that type of stuff. Definitely, for sure, do your research, like speak to people, kind of find out more about the system. You know, I think that's something that even looking back, I wish I had done a little bit more, just had more information. And there is information out there. You just kind of have to find it, find the right people. Don't take everything that you hear as like crystal. There's a lot of like horror stories from the States, but people like to exaggerate and stuff about kind of how things went down. But I mean, and if anybody's interested who is listening and wants to move to the States, I do know a good amount of coaches and stuff. So if you're interested, let me know. I can kind of help try to point you in the right direction a little bit.
Nice one, man. Happy days. Awesome. Well, we're coming towards the end, but before we end, we always do the Find Your Fire round. So I've got a few quick questions prepared for you.
All right.
To get to know you a bit more, get to see what you think about a few things, and just wrap this up. So you ready to give it a go?
Yeah, let's go.
Fantastic. All right. So number one, what is a race that you've always wanted to race? Run.
Great North Run.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and one that I would like to do and try to be competitive in it too. I think being from like the area and stuff, I think I would love to run that. Love to run in front of my family, friends. Then that would be, never. I haven't run a half marathon, so that would be something that I would like to as a goal for maybe the future.
Good stuff. All right. What about a location you've always wanted to run?
I would like to run in Hawaii, to be honest. I know I just feel like that would just be incredible. Scenery and stuff, kind of running around. I love like going to new places and running new places. That was massive for me. A big pull of the States was the opportunity to run in different areas, and something that I got to run in Oregon, California, like all over the place, like all the West Coast. And sometimes you don't realize. And I remember actually my mom and dad laughed at me once because I sent them some photos of like me running on like the beach in California and Los Angeles, and they were like, oh wow. And I was like, yeah, it's just like running along at Seaburn, like at Sunderland. You know what I mean? It's like kind of made it just kind of funny.
What's the furthest you've traveled to run actually?
I think Portland, Oregon was the furthest I went to. Either that or Princeton, New Jersey. Two different sides, east and west, but we ran a cross country race in Princeton, and then I ran a track race at Portland Track Festival.
Nice.
And then we ran at Azusa a few times in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Trying to think. And then we went to Florida Relays a few times too, so we got a good good little geographic of the US.
Okay, what's been your favorite place to run in? I'm sorry, this wasn't
my favorite place. No, it's fine. My favorite place I've ever run actually was, it was actually kind of difficult to run there, but one that I always think about is Lake Como in Italy. We went there as a family, and like really, really hilly and kind of difficult to run around because all the streets were tiny and stuff. But like, as I said, like scenery and stuff was just like incredible, like really, really interesting. I enjoy like looking around me and stuff when I'm running, and I like to run in kind of, for me, cool places. So that was probably my favorite place I've run.
That's cool, man. Do you listen to music when you're running, or is it just?
I didn't used to. Now because I run by myself a little bit more, I do.
Yeah.
Just usually put my AirPods in and put Spotify on and just kind of listen to something for a while.
Decent. Yeah, that's cool, man. All right. Back to the questions I had prepared for you.
Yeah.
For me, cross country, road, and track, from favorite to least favorite.
I think track, cross country, road.
Happy days. I'm glad track's number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice, man. Okay. What's your favorite race that you've ever seen?
Not a distance race, but Usain Bolt's 100 meter final, Beijing Olympics. I remember sitting there watching it. Exactly. I just like me, my mom, dad, brother sat there watching it. We're about to go to the Metro Center. remember sitting there watching it. We're like, oh, let's watch the 100 meter final and we'll go. Mm-hmm. And just being like absolutely blown away by the dominance of it. Just like,
because, you know,
simply incredible.
I can really rant about sprinting, but let's just deep this really quickly, okay? In the semi-final, he ran a 9.85 looking around jogging. He broke the Olympic record by jogging looking around. And then he does that in the final. And the thing is, right, he's racing the best people in the world. And like, I'm sorry, I'm going all over the place, but there's there's a race he did in 2015, yeah? 2015 World Championships. He stumbled out of the blocks and he literally just qualified on the line. So everyone had already left him. He almost fell over and then he sprinted and he caught up and made it into the final. But he's racing the fastest people in the world. He's had such a horrific start and he's
still makes it
on the race. Like, what the heck? And that's the greatness of Bolt. And so when you see stuff, I see this all the time. I even saw it yesterday when you see someone like, oh, this American football athlete would have done this against Usain Bolt. Like, you need a
Tyreek Hill. They always talk about
it. That one as well. Oh my it's such I'm sorry.
People don't even realize it's, honestly, it's embarrassing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. Let's go back to you. All right. Who's your favorite athlete ever?
Ooh. It's a good one. I think Michael Phelps, not even a runner, but that was probably one of the first, like, I really looked up to. And again, like, that dominance of it, you know what I mean? Like how many Olympic medals he won, like, a lot of time. For the longest time, long, long time, my favorite athlete of all time was Lance Armstrong, to be honest with you. And then when all that stuff came out about him doping, I just couldn't believe it. Yeah. Not that I couldn't believe it, because obviously there was a lot of stuff that went on, but didn't want to believe it. Yeah. And part of that was, like, my auntie had breast cancer. I remember, like, reading all of his books when she had breast cancer and being, like, blown away by, like, wow, like, this guy, like, he had stage 4 testicular cancer, came back, won all these, like, really gave myself, like, a lot of, like, inner belief that, like, she could be it, all that type of stuff. And then, which she did. But I don't know, then, like, everything happened and stuff, so then can't see him anymore. So, but yeah, I think Michael Phelps probably will be right up there.
Yeah, he's a legend. He's amazing. All right, what's your favorite running shoes?
I run a Nike Pegasus a lot, to be honest with you. Yeah. I like the older ones, 34s, 35s. Still try to find them at, like, the outlets and stuff if I can. I'm not a huge fan of the newer ones just because they don't feel as if they have as much Achilles support as what the old ones did. But I do like Pegasus a lot. It's usually what I run in. And I do a lot, not my, like, workouts. I do, like, Peg Turbos a lot of the time.
Nice. Do you have a favorite book?
Favorite book? I have a really good book called Alone in Berlin, which I like, which is like a fictional book, but it's very, very good. Kind of from a sporting perspective, I really like The Secret Race. It's actually by Tyler Hamilton, who was a teammate of Lance Armstrong. Would say that if people are interested in sports doping, any of that type of stuff, absolutely give it a read. Gives a great insight into how dirty cycling was in the early 2000s, late 90s.
Yeah, this is this might sound like a proper naive, like, I'm not a cyclist, I just ride my bike to work. But have you ever seen Icarus?
I don't think so. I think I've heard of it. It's on Netflix, or isn't it?
Mate, watch Icarus. Yeah, that's nuts. All right, that's like, oh yeah, yeah, that's nuts. A good documentary.
All right. I'll give it a watch. I'll let you know.
Yeah, thank you. Please do let me know as well. Like, that's not just
popular. Yeah, I will.
Yeah, you know what
I
mean? Yeah,
cool. No, I will. For sure.
What's your favorite movie?
Ooh, favorite movie. Have to be honest with you. Don't watch a ton of movies anymore. Really like Goodfellas though.
Okay, I'm sorry. Going back to Icarus, yeah. Okay. Icarus, I was, and I say this when, honestly, talk to my brothers. I was gonna say this, but I didn't know if you watched Goodfellas. The end of Icarus, I'm literally like, this is how Goodfellas ended. Like, I'm like, what the heck is this? This is nuts. Like, yeah.
Well, now you really tempted me to watch it.
Yeah,
so, all right.
Yeah. Right. Goodfellas is amazing. Okay. Goodfellas is amazing.
Yeah, it's a great film. Classic.
Yeah. Top. It's probably in my top five. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. That's brought a smile to my face. cool. All right. A couple more questions. Who is one athlete that you want to hear on this podcast soon?
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, I'll tell you what, seeing as I mentioned him earlier, James Young, considering that he was a D2 champion, NCAA, made NCAA indoors, I think he would be a great person to offer even more insight and offer insight at even like a more elite level than what I competed at NCAA. So I think that would be good.
Youngie, that would be a good one. And he ran in the, he trained with Lindsay as well up here, didn't he?
Yeah, trained with Lindsay as well. And he's now at Ole Miss. He's competing in the SEC. So kind of right at the top.
Direction. That's awesome. That's good to hear from him.
Yeah.
All right. What's one thing that's still on your bucket list?
Still my bucket list. I'd like to go to Machu Picchu.
You know, I have no idea what that is.
You know?
I thought that was a fake place.
Me and my wife have talked about going for like forever, but I mean, with being with school and the kids and stuff, I hasn't really had the chance, but I think that would be amazing to go to. Really want to go to Australia. Traveling is probably more on my bucket list, and in general that would probably be one of the things I would love to do.
Yeah, that's good, man. Hopefully you can. And I
know, hopefully in the near future, hopefully.
Yeah. And then finally, do you have any hidden talents?
Hidden talents. Ooh. I don't know. I can do this weird thing with my eyes where I can make them shake.
Can you do it now? What the heck was that? Alright, what the heck? Yeah, I'm not, don't worry. I'm not gonna show anybody the video. That's just supposed to
post. I used to be able to do it well good when I was younger, but then my parents used to like tell me off for doing it, so now I've never done it forever. But
could you imagine you do this and then you just do it and your eye just gets stuck somewhere? You're like,
what? Yeah, no, that's what they were worried about actually. I don't know, like it just like it can like flicker it between. I don't even actually know what it looks like, and no one's actually ever showed me. So,
oh mate, yeah, it's weird. Awesome, fantastic. Well, before we end, do you have any advice for anyone that's getting into running and wants to be really good at it for the body?
I think listen to those around you, listen to like there's a lot of people that have a load of knowledge, like at local running clubs, all that type of stuff. You know, get yourself into it, throw yourself into it, enjoy it, and never lose that enjoyment for it. Remember the reason you got into running.
Right.
And if you start to lose that enjoyment, you start to realize that you're doing it for the wrong reasons. I think that you've got to have that enjoyment there and remember like how fun it is. Like, and if you're not enjoying it, don't do it.
Word. That's awesome. Well, listen, guys, Ollie, actually, are you on social media? Can anyone find you online?
Yeah. On Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, awesome. Whatever.
That's brilliant. Yeah. So people can reach out to you there.
Definitely.
Information if they want to say anything to you. So thank you for that.
Yep.
Everyone listening, make sure you follow Ardent Run Club on Instagram and @ThisIsArdent on all of our social media for updates on the podcast and us over here at Ardent, and subscribe to Ardent Run Club so you can be the first to know when the new weekly episodes come out. Any last words, Ollie?
No, just thank you very much. Really enjoyed today. Thank you for having me on. Much appreciated. Thank you for taking the time out for us to have this chat.
Yeah, man, I've enjoyed it. This has been Ardent Run Club, episode 68 with Ollie James. I hope you learned something. I hope you've been inspired, and I hope you find your fire. See you next time.